morning and welcome to the worship service at First Baptist Church of Hayden. God's word states in Psalm 100 verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." So let's all praise our wonderful and mighty God in the spirit and truth. We have a few announcements this morning. As we continue to pray for our brothers and sisters listed in our bulletin that have delicate health issues, we especially want to thank God for Nancy Sutton. She is recovered. As far as I can tell, I visited her a few days after the fact, and she's recovering for that fall that she had last Sunday. Also, Max Swanson started a fairly long recovery process from a pretty bad fall last week. Also asking God for our brother, get the strength to our brother Doug, as he will start a long treatment this coming week. I guess tomorrow he's going for some other general testing of his body, make sure the cancer is not anywhere else, right? And then he may get first treatment right there, or sometime maybe the following week. So we just need to keep all these folks in our prayers, plus anyone else that I may not know about it. Please, our health, as I mentioned before, is the most important thing in our lives. Life without health is no life, right? So we, as brothers and sisters that we love God and love each other, we need to keep all of us in mind. Today you, tomorrow is me. So we have to be keeping in mind that the body of Christ in this world sometimes suffers from illness, and we just need to keep everybody in our prayers. I also have the great pleasure of congratulating my wife, Toni. She got 1 year less, right? Huh? Now she's counting backwards. So on March 21st was her birthday, and we thank God for that, right? Absolutely. Let's stand up and have an opening prayer. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, thank you for all the endless love towards us, for giving us another week full of blessings and providing for all our needs. Lord, please bless all our loved ones, wherever they may be. Dear God, we bring before you all those who are not well and ask you to put your healing hand over them, Lord. We ask you for Max Swanson, a speedy recovery. And we also pray you give strength to Doug as he starts treatment this coming week. God, we continue to ask your blessings over all the needy people in this world. There's so many, Lord. We're just looking around us, and there's need everywhere. And we also remember the widows and orphans, even we don't know. There's so many up there that need your help. Lord of mercy, we also ask you to provide the means to touch the lives of those who are incarcerated, bringing them peace and forgive their sins. Lord, this world is a terrible disarray. It's in bad shape, Lord. Filled with discord and an overflowing sin everywhere. So we ask you to empower Christians all over to make a significant impact in the peace and prosperity of this world, that somehow they will get your message to others, even to those deaf ears, Lord. Loving God, as we pause, reflecting on ourselves, we also recognize our failures and our sins. And thank you for the pardon we have received through the marvelous redeeming sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Father, we love you and want to worship you in a way that really, truly pleases you. Lord, we ask you all these things in the holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to praise God with hymn 210, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." Luke 16:10, we find these teachings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much.
Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blessings that you gave us, Lord, last week. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you'll give us this coming week. And you bless us so abundantly, Lord Jesus. I pray for all of our sick folks, all of those that are on our prayer list, Lord. I lift them up for your healing, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I pray for their recovery. And Lord Jesus, take these tithes and offerings, those that are given now, Lord, and bless them, Lord Jesus, to further your kingdom and to help those, Lord, that need help, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, as always, forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. In your holy name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Once again, I'm going to ask you to stand up as we read the Word of God in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is with us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect, if it is God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word in our hearts. You may be seated. So today we are going to reflect on the most, and I don't say it enough, most wonderful human feeling, love. This message, I realize, is not going to be unique. I'm sure you heard many messages about love. It wouldn't be complete either in any shape or form, because I assure you, love is such a vast, tremendously vast element in our lives that we could be elaborating on it and preaching about it and discussing about it, you know, forever and ever. But I hope that this message will at least bring to our minds probably new things about it. I am sure and positive that we all have felt love in our lives. One time or another, right? I hope so. The very least is the love as children that, you know, mom and dad give us without limit. But there are moments in our lives when someone shows or expresses love to you in ways that awaken beautiful feelings in your heart. There's no question about that. Let me tell you that through my childhood, my father showed me his love by bringing me small memories of each place that he visited, and he traveled a lot. I still have some of those memories. A little wooden horse from a well-known horse farm, yeah, and they carved these little horses in as souvenirs. My father saw that. He thought it was a great thing to bring to his son. At the time, I was four or five. Maybe in a small rock with minerals filled into the rock naturally. I was 7 or 8. He brought me, at times, other things like a coloring book with big, you know, amazing Arabic palaces that I had to color, obviously. And to me, I was crazy about painting and coloring and stuff like that. So I enjoyed that very much. And many, 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 many more things I can't remember. He made big sacrifices. It was a tough time in Spain. And families weren't that glamorous. And, you know, living was pretty seriously difficult. So I know he made some big sacrifices to buy me more presents that I'm sure at times he barely was able to afford. Like a toy movie projector. Well, at the time it was the most marvelous thing anybody in the family had. He bought also my first accordion, a Guarini 32 bass accordion, when I was just 9 years of age. And then later, a more advanced Hohner 96 bass accordion, which I still have today. My mother loved me in such an amazing way that I cannot even describe it with words. I trust that you will feel the same way about your mothers. She had also pride in raising the children in a very rigid, and I mean rigid, respectful and godly way. She was strict, I can tell you that. Her educating efforts were meaningful, and you better do what she tells you. So as long as I was in good health, my mother made sure I knew all the chores that corresponded to me and made sure I didn't miss any of them, because otherwise I would get it. And you know what I mean by that. She was also a classical, accomplished harpist. She also was a music composer, and she complemented the musical instruments my dad bought me, those accordions, and teaching me music. Basically, I can tell you she was my best ever music teacher. I had other teachers after that. When I grew up in a certain level in piano and an organ and accordion and all that, I get to a certain level where she said, look, you need to find somebody that is, you know, specialized on that because, you know, me knowing music well and, you know, composing music and playing the, you know, harp is not the same thing. And I realized she was right, so fine, let's do that. I truly assure you that she was, as a music teacher, pretty demanding as well. On the other hand, when I was sick, she spoiled me by bringing food to the bed, checking my temperature very often, and staying on my bedside for hours and hours and hours. My mother showed me her unconditional love, doing all these things and much more, I'm sure, like yours have done over the years. But the very best gift I ever received from her, the very best one, was a Bible in English. As I was getting 17 and a half years of age, I was living in Spain for the first time in my life, going to England, to London to study. She brought me that English Bible, which I still have here today with me, back in 1967, I believe. 1st July 1967. She wrote on it that you see on the top, and I translate that and say, to support you and guide you in the way of the Lord, and to remember that the love of Christ set you free. I dedicate this Bible to you, Mom. Surely, I'm positive that you too will remember moments when you felt loved by someone, especially your parents. Maybe your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a co-worker. Do you all know where that love comes from? Well, love is not simply a chemical reaction that occurs in your brain like somebody trying to tell the rest of the world, oh, it's just a chemical reaction, it translates into this and that, and, you know, somehow goes through ether and changes into your thoughts. Wow, it's almost scary to think that way. Let me tell you that the love that we express and feel as human beings is a small, imperfect reflection of God's incomparable love.
Amen.
The Bible declares that Jesus came into the world to demonstrate that God is love.
Amen.
Being God, Jesus reflected divine love in human flesh. The Bible relates that on certain occasion, a man approached Jesus seeking to know what to do to obtain eternal life. This young man was very rich and also very religious, but something was missing. He needed something more because somehow, I can assure you, he was insecure. Something was not complete in his life. Jesus told him about the commandments. And the young man declared that he had kept them all. Let me tell you, the Lord didn't argue with him. But we know that that couldn't be true because we're all sinners. However, let me point out that Jesus did not respond with anger or condemnation, saying, hey, you're a liar. No, he didn't do that. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 21, tell us what Jesus' reaction was. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Well, the confusion and need of this young man did not cause impatience in the heart of Jesus. It caused love. Jesus loved him so much that instead of rebuking his assertion of compliance with all the commandments, he showed him what was really in his way. His great love for worldly possessions. That was the big problem. Furthermore, he invited him to become one of his disciples. Take your cross and follow me. Jesus loved him in his confusion and his insecurity. Jesus also loves us and invites us to leave what is in our way to follow him. Jesus loved to the end. When the time came for him to be betrayed and given over to death, he loved his own to the fullest. This is what John 13:1 declares. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, to the strength, to beyond any one of us could ever imagine. I'm talking about imagination. Imagine for a moment being invited to dinner at the White House, for example. If I was, could I behave at the level of those important people? Well, Let's imagine furthermore, let's imagine that upon entering the bathroom, which I needed to wash my hands or something, surprisingly, I find nobody else but the U.S. president cleaning the toilets. That would be something totally unexpected, don't you think? You might think, hey, there must be people to do that job there, right? Why in the world is he doing that? Not the U.S. president. Surely that job is miles and miles beneath his dignity, right? Okay, let's analyze how we humans think. Jesus' disciples kept fighting over and over who would be the most important in the kingdom of God. They were with Jesus. They understood what Jesus had taught them over the last few months. And they understood, you know, what is important and what is not. Nevertheless, they keep fighting about who is more important. Who's going to be there? How am I going to be recognized? How are you going to be recognized? No, I'm going to be higher than you. No, I'm higher than you. That was crazy, completely crazy. Jesus, on the other hand, lowered himself to the level of a servant and took a vessel of water in his hands. Being the creator of the world of kings, the judge of all who one time we all will be kneeling in front of. He lowered himself to serve with humility. With a towel, he washed the dirty feet of his disciples. He loved them with humility and service. He didn't stop there. He loved them to the end, as we already read in that scripture. Jesus demonstrated the love of God who loves the world, the love of a God that loves the world that he has created. And he did that by sacrificing his life for you and for me.
Amen.
John 3:16, the very well-known verse, declares that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without the sacrifice of Christ, we all, without exception, would be forever lost. Forever lost. Forever lost. Our sin condemns us to death and eternal separation from God, and we have nothing to offer in exchange for that forgiveness that we need so desperately. But God loves us without reason, without need. He doesn't need to love us, but he loves us. Let me be clear. When you see Jesus hanging on the cross, you're not looking at a poor, misunderstood, suffering victim. No, you're not. You're looking at the powerful name in the Bible, Lion of Judah, who came as a lowly lamb to take up himself, all my weakness, all yours. I'm paying for all that with that cruel, horrendous suffering and death. You're looking at the greatest display of love that could exist in the entire universe.
Amen.
Humans have many limitations. And part of that restricts our understanding of love and who really we love and who really loves us. At times, let me tell you, we are self-blinded. We don't think of ourselves that way, but we are. Somehow, it seems that we only want to see those things that we care about at the moment. Because tomorrow, we may be caring about something completely different. We are not consistent. We know that our God is the same yesterday and today and in the future, and forever. But we change. Let me tell you that sometimes we say, no, I know who I am. No, I can assure you, things that I do today, I will never have done 20 years ago. Or things that I say I will never do, I've done it many times. Well, there is someone who loves you more than anyone can imagine. He proved it by laying down his life on the cross for you and for me. Who could give more than that? Who could love better? Let me tell you that God is love, and I know you know that, but sometimes we need to be refreshed with the same words over and over again. God is love, and he has shown it to us with the death of the second person of the Trinity, God the Son on the cross. And because of that, we are confronted with a question. How to respond to God's love? Are we chasing other interior artificial loves? The love that God has shown us on the cross demands a response. And that response is that we must love him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we find these words. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Is that clear?
Amen.
Yes, I love my wife. Yes, I love my children. Yes, I love my father and mother when they were alive and still today. And our love is good. You know, human love is good. It's honest. But that's nothing compared to the love with God. Our relationship to our Lord is completely different. And this verse clearly expresses the extent of which we have to love God with all our heart. How many times I've done it myself? I told a woman that I love her with all my heart, and then I broke up with her. Wait a minute, do you love her or you don't? But it's not just me, I'm sure some of you have experienced similar things like that. How many times do we say we love with my whole heart? But that is not exactly literal. Well, this verse is very clear, and it tells us that we need to love God with all our heart. Don't leave a little bit there for something else. It's all to God. And soul is such a word that is so misunderstood, misinterpreted. Soul is, it's a combination of things. Some people in science world trying to combine soul with mental abilities and brain capacity and the thoughts and all that kind of, and it's different. All our soul belongs to God. That's why we have to love Him with all of it and all our strength. Let me tell you that strength is a magical word. I remember working back in Durham and getting to work one morning, and when I got there, I heard that one of the master mechanics in the machine shop has suffered a terrible accident. And I asked permission to leave the workplace and go and visit him at an urgent location. And when I went there, I learned what happened. So what happened is, it was rainy, it was muddy that day, and somehow his pickup truck slid off the road a little bit and go into a little ditch or something. And he tried to lift it up and all that, and finally was able to get it in place. When he got it in place, you noticed that the tire that had fallen had cut something, and it had to be replaced, had to change the tire. Remember, it was muddy, and it was about 6:20 in the morning, according to that. So he somehow he decided he was going to change it. So he tried to do that. He put the lifting apparatus there and lifted up and took the tire off and trying to put the other one in. And while he was doing that, the whole truck came on top of his chest because the thing slid off because of the wet ground and all that. Well, believe it or not, he was able to lift the truck up by himself and get away with broken ribs. Broken ribs, in terrible pain, full of mud, raining, and he was able to push the truck off his chest. So, why do I say that? Because many, many times we do not know how much power do we have. We do not know all our strength. No, I cannot do that. Well, you do not know what you can do. Let me tell you this. Over 2,000 years later, Jesus also declared that this is the most important commandment. But it's not a simple duty. It's not something that we just have to do because. Rather, as John wrote in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He loved us first. Loving God is the only reason, is the only reaction to the great love that He has shown us. Loving God does not mean only having feelings of love towards Him, although it is wonderful when our hearts are inspired by thinking of God's love. Sometimes tears come to our eyes when we think what God has done for us, what Christ did on the cross. But that is not all. To love God means being loyal to Him, putting Him first in our lives, committing all to Him first. And I mean all to Him first. Spending time with Him and faithfully serving Him. Not serving Him because it's a good opportunity for us to do something, or for some people it's a good opportunity to make money, that's the profession. Well, that is not the reason why we should serve the Lord. We should be able to do that completely faithful, without worrying about anything else. Completely blind to this world and with eyes open to God. So, let me ask you, do you struggle to find time to read the Bible? Are you unwilling to spend time in prayer? Is it difficult for you to serve God in the local church? Because those are things that we shouldn't have any problem with, but at times we do. We are so busy doing so many things, we don't have time for prayer. Wait a minute, I can pray while I'm driving. Granted, my wife will say, Mario, put attention to the road. I know she does that. But I don't close the eyes. You don't have to close the eyes to pray to God. And yes, sometimes we don't have time to read the Bible because, well, you know, you have to have your Bible next to you and sit down. And let me tell you this. There are some days in the week that I don't read the Bible. And some others just many, many minutes, hours, trying to find things that are correct or right for the sermon that I'm preparing. But at times we all fail in one way or another. Sometimes we don't feel that we can serve in the church. Well, you know, the deacons do that, and the director of the choir, and the organist, and the pastor, and the pianist, and the secretary. You know, they all do that. I don't need to be involved. They're doing a good job, right? Well, if so, think deeply and seriously, considering what he did for you on the cross. Do you think it was pleasant? Let me put it this way. I think that the death on the cross is one of the most horrible ones in this world. But let me make clear one thing. It was not a regular man who died on that cross.
Amen.
It was God himself that voluntarily put his life for you and me. Now, if we just look at that, well, you know, being God is so powerful, he can handle that. That's no problem. You know, me will be different. You know, I'm weak. No, it's the other way around. Being God is more suffering and pain because it was God that was submitted to something as horrible as a human death like that. Listen to music that tells you about Jesus. Let God change your heart by understanding his love for you. God's love also leads us to love our brothers in Christ. 1 John 4, 9-11 reads like this. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through him. In this, his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And sometimes it's difficult for us to love certain people. People that come across arrogant, difficult characters. Perhaps people that work with us, sometimes even our own family. But we need to be able to transport that love that we get from God to everybody around us. This is what love consists of. Not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be offered as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, as a full payment for it. Brethren, since God has loved us like this, we too must love one another in the same way. God does not love us because we deserve it. We don't. We really don't. He loves us because he is love. We must cultivate that same love towards our brothers in Christ. God's love is an inexplicable love. There is no human logical explanation. There is no external reason, but is simply born from his heart. When we experience God's love, he has to move us to love everyone around us. When we help someone who cannot correspond to us, we reflect the love of God. And notice what I say. When we love someone that does not correspond to us, when we treat those who are not of our blood as brothers, we reflect the love of God. Let's not love only in words. How can you show love this week towards others? Maybe you know someone who's going through a bad time. Express your support in prayer. Or maybe you can support someone else in need of some physical form, some physical way. Some people need help badly. God's love leads us to love him and to love others around us, especially to love the lost. Many, many times we point the fingers to the lost. Ah, that's some bad people. We like to point the finger, don't we? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 states, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one die for all, then all die. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Love compels us to love those who do not know him. The Apostle Paul continued in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 with these words. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." So God has given us a privilege of being reconciling agents. We have that power now. We we should be able to carry on that duty. When we bring the message of salvation to others, we offer them the opportunity to be reconciled with God through Christ Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent his son to give his life so that everyone may be saved. How do you see the lost people around you? It's easy to say, well, they know what they're doing. I told them before, they don't want to listen to me. Well, good thing God didn't say the same thing about us. Because at one time or another, we have been disobedient. We have been lost. And let me put it this way. We may be believers and we may be saved eternally. There's no question about that. We know salvation cannot be lost, right? But at times we get lost. At times we divert in the wrong direction. And when that happens, God could say, hey, I knew it. I don't want to hear anything about it. But no, God doesn't do that. God still loves us and is still looking towards us. Let me tell you this. If we take a peek into our own lives, we could say, we may say, we should say, I am so full of sin. Jesus died for us while we still were sinners. He didn't die for us when we were saints, did he? Assuming we could be saints. He didn't die for those. He died for us sinners. So if we sin, if we get lost, if we go into the wrong path, don't worry about it. I mean, worry in the good sense of correcting yourself and asking God for forgiveness and asking the Holy Spirit to guide you back in track. We must get present in our minds that every person we meet goes to one or two destinations. Roman Catholic Church teaches three destinations: heaven, hell, and purgatory. Well, I don't know where they get that from, because in the Bible there's no such a thing. Purgatory is that place that you go and you were not forgiven, you will have the chance, you know, to somehow redeem yourself. That doesn't exist. Either we will spend eternity in the joy of God's presence, or we will end up forever in eternal torment. Ouch, that sounds horrible, huh? Amazingly, we have the power to change that. And I don't mean about ourselves, I mean about those people that we're talking about. Potential people are going to go one place or going to go another. But we have the ability to offer them the way out. If we love God, we also share his love for the lost in the world and look for opportunities for them to know salvation. In other words, we have the power given by God that we should be able to bring Christ's sacrifice to them in a way that they will understand and potentially save them eternally. So first, let's start by praying for those who do not know Christ. And there are many. We can be praying all day long, and we will be praying enough. I tell you that. There's so much horrible things happening in this world. And those things don't happen. Things don't happen. People make them happen. Second, let's ask God to help us see them as he sees them. Again, we point the finger to those that we see that they are bad sinners and everybody knows about it. And we point the finger, no, 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 don't do that. Because God doesn't see them that way. And three, let's share our testimony of salvation. What God has done in our lives. What could be of us if we weren't saved? I can tell you stories about some of my family members. I can tell you a story about myself if I wasn't saved. I will probably gain a good prominent place close to Satan. We are bad people. Humans are. But the love and the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ change all that for you and for me. It is not up to us to convince those people that are lost that the Holy Spirit will do that. For us, we just bring the facts. We just bring the word. We just bring salvation. We just bring the picture of the cross. Jesus suffering for them with love. The Holy Spirit will take care of touching the souls and hearts. The most important reality you can know today is the reality of God's love. He loves you. He shows you in a thousand ways. But above all, the most clear way was in the cross. How would you reciprocate his love? Well, today I'm inviting you to meditate on God's great love, that amazing love. Don't let a single minute of your life go by without being thankful to God and thinking about his love for you. Nothing in this world equals the feeling of being loved by God.
Amen.
I can tell you I've been blessed all my life. My parents love me crazy. My brothers love me the same way. People in the church that I grew, First Baptist Church in Madrid, love me the same way. Brothers and sisters through many different places, churches in Madrid and other places in Spain, which I visit often, and churches in Miami, churches in Raleigh-Durham, and this church. And I feel love everywhere in my life. So if I meditate on how God's great love touched my life, I need to be able to respond. So my question to you today is, how are you going to respond? I pray the Holy Spirit will guide you to respond in the way that will please and glorify God. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we love you, Lord, and thank you for the incomparable love of your Son, demonstrated dying in that cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for your word that provides us the light we need so desperately in this world of darkness. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us in every single moment of our lives. Dear Lord, keep your Holy Spirit guiding us to overcome the many temptations and troubles of this world so we can be faithful and get closer to you. Loving Father, we recognize that we should devote more of our time to serve you. Sometimes we take a challenge, sometimes we take a charge, and sometimes, Lord, we think that by doing that we've done enough. But Lord, that is not enough. Never is enough. Therefore, we ask you to give us the drive, the motivation, the opportunities to bring the good news of salvation to others. Once again, Lord, we ask you for those in our congregation that are passing through difficult times, especially those facing health problems. Please give them strength and fully restore them, Lord. But we ask those things, Father, if all within your will. Now, as we depart today from this, your house, please guard all of us and our families. Also through this coming week, keeping us safe and well until we reunite again. And Lord, we ask you all these things, asking also for the forgiveness of our sins. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's conclude this service singing hymn 546. Please stand up.
Love lifted me. Love lifted me.
now go in peace, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you wherever you go, here and everywhere, and with all God's people forever. Amen. God bless you.